السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. We are discussing over the last few weeks that fana is annihilation. So this is the most important ingredient. Once there is fana, person has annihilated himself. One is in our relationships with people. If a person has got fana, so he won't get offended. Somebody spoke badly to him. Somebody didn't greet him, greeted everybody else, never greet me. So you won't get offended by these things because there is fana yet. However, what we need to ponder over is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our khaliq. Allah ta'ala is our creator. Allah Ta'ala is our Malik. Allah owns us. Whatever we have is from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is our Rabb, meaning He is our nourisher. Allah Ta'ala has created all the means for our survival. And if Allah Ta'ala wants, in a split second He can take everything away. See what is happening in Gaza. Whole towns are being demolished. So many people are passing away with hunger. Is there any shortage of food in the world? There's no shortage of food. Is there any shortage of military might to stop this genocide? There's no shortage. How much noise, how many people are making? But nobody can do anything. Because Allah Ta'ala doesn't want anything to be done. Why? That question we can't ask. We slaves. If Allah Ta'ala wants, in a split second, the whole thing can stop. Everything can change. Allah Ta'ala shows us that, see, I'm in charge. Right? And everything that Allah Ta'ala does, there is wisdom, there is hikmat. The surgeon cuts off a person's limb. But we praise the surgeon. Cut off the person's limb. But we praise him. So, no, a lucky man. Just picked up that gangrene in time. Otherwise, we'd have lost the whole leg. We appreciate what the doctor does. But when it comes to Allah Ta'ala, we want to dictate. We can't appreciate that there is wisdom in what Allah Ta'ala is doing. So Allah Ta'ala is our Malik, Allah Ta'ala is our Khalik, Allah Ta'ala is our Razzaq, Allah Ta'ala is our Rabb. But how much have I annihilated myself in front of Allah Ta'ala? Leave everything else. In front of Allah Ta'ala, how much have I annihilated myself? Annihilation is not only in Salah. Salah is a symbol of annihilation. The closest one can get to his Rabb is in Salah. A person, when he reads Salah, he goes into Sajda, the most honorable part of his body is his face. He puts it on the floor. And even his back from where Najasat comes out, that is raised above his head too. But he is not worried, because that is the command of my Allah. So he annihilates himself in front of the command of Allah. That is what Allah Ta'ala wants me to do, I must do it. Abu Talib, he said, no, I can't do that. I can't put my head on the ground and lift my back up. My back must be higher than my face. He passed away without iman. How much of love he had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much he cared for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why love without submission, love without submission sometimes can carry no weight. So lot of people sometimes in their love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in this month, lot of doom-dam happens. In their love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do so many things which Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never approved of. Why? They haven't annihilated themselves in front of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We claim love. We claim that I love Allah Ta'ala. I love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how much have I annihilated myself in front of the commands of Allah Ta'ala? When it comes to the commands of Allah Ta'ala, if I'm still playing cat and mouse, I'm still playing around, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm still being technical about things, just shifting things this way, that way, then he shows that I haven't annihilated myself in front of Allah Ta'ala. In the weekend, somebody came from Johannesburg. So they brought some buns, which is called hot cross buns. You know, the Christian people, when it comes towards Easter, then they make this thing, hot cross buns. I don't know what significance it got to them, but they make this bun, has some raisins inside and something, and they put a cross on it. Right? So, because they put a cross on it, and there is a connotation of shirk, right? So we don't eat this thing. We don't buy it, we don't eat it, because it's got to do with their false religion. But this person brought this similar bun from a Muslim bakery. Right? So they make the bun, but they don't put the cross. The people like the bun, they like the taste of it, they want to eat it, but they don't put the cross on it. So it shows that this person, this bakery, whoever it is who is baking the thing, person has got some Allah consciousness in him. But see, I want to sell this thing, right? But I'm not going to get involved in the shirk part of it. So if the non-Muslims don't want to come buy this thing from me, that's their problem. I will just make it and sell it. If Allah Ta'ala gives me barakat in it, well and good, but I'm not going to get involved in this cross. Right? And yet you will get so many Muslim businesses, huge, huge businesses, wealthy, wealthy people. Sometimes the bakery is just one small part of that business. The business is huge, right? So many different departments in the business. The bakery is just one small part of the business. But when they make this thing, they make sure they put the cross. So, you know, we have to worry about the feelings of our non-Muslim clientele. So it shows that we haven't annihilated ourselves in front of Allah Ta'ala. That this thing that got to do with shirk, right? I still got the audacity to put it. That I know this is to do with shirk. This cross is symbolizing something that the Quran Sharif speaks totally against it. But I haven't annihilated myself in front of Allah Ta'ala. I'm just giving you one example. Just one example. Like that, there's so many things. So many things in our lives. Right? So this fana'iyat is a very important thing. One, if you talk about fana, that now, you know, I must annihilate myself. So somebody insult me also, it mustn't offend me, etc. But this fana'iyat, if we don't have it, that means we got ego, we got pride. So then we can't even comply to Allah Ta'ala's orders. We can't even comply to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person comes into the masjid, and he's sitting and he's talking worldly affairs. He's messing around in the masjid, talking, joking with his friend, whatever. What it shows? That there is no Allah consciousness. There's no respect for Allah Ta'ala. You know, when people have got respect, so young people sometimes, they go to visit the elder of the family, the grandfathers. So they sit with so much of adab and they won't talk. This level of respect you don't see anymore. You don't see this level of respect. Right? But when people used to go to visit the elders of the family, they just sit quiet. If the elder person says something, ask them something, they will give a job. But there is that respect, you know. These big people, we don't talk. If they ask us something, we will reply. When that is the level of respect that is shown to people, then what level of respect must be shown to Allah Ta'ala? But we come into the masjid and we yapping away, talking away. Why? Because that presence of Allah Ta'ala is not in mind that I'm in Allah Ta'ala's court. Hazrat Mahabul Haq Magda Sahab, on Sunday there was a program in Mountain Rise. So Hazrat gave a bayan there. So he mentioned this thing that if somebody has got a court case or something, now he's waiting for judgment there. People can be talking. He is not worried about anything else. He is full concentration he got. So that's how it's supposed to be, right? But we are weak. We are weak. But we got to keep trying. We got to keep trying. If I go somewhere and I consider myself somebody, now I'll behave in any which way I want. If I'm consider myself nobody, I'll follow protocol. So when it comes to Allah Ta'ala, what do I consider myself? Why I'm not following protocol? Because I haven't even submitted myself in front of Allah Ta'ala. If I haven't submitted myself in front of Allah Ta'ala, where else am I going to have fana'iyat? So Allah give me first tawfiq. Allah give me first tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. So this majlis of Hazrat Masullah Rahmatullah Ali, from the beginning of the majlis, Hazrat was explaining that the whole objective is to worship Allah Ta'ala. You have to worship Allah Ta'ala. You have to be in the worship of Allah Ta'ala all the time. Right? That's the objective of life. The sole purpose of this life is to make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So, if when we eating, we eat how Allah Ta'ala wants us to eat, according to the Sunnah method, then that eating also becomes ibadat. If the drinking is done according to the deen of Allah Ta'ala, the Sunnah of Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that drinking also becomes ibadat. Everything becomes ibadat. Ibadat is not only when we reading namaz or we making zikrullah. Otherwise, how are we going to fulfill this objective of life? 6-7 hours of the day we sleeping. How are we going to make that sleep ibadat? Now if a person just makes wuzu before he goes to sleep, uses the miswak, then he goes to sleep in the sunnah method, reads his duas, and he goes and he sleeps away. Now that whole 6 hours, 7 hours that he slept, that's ibadat now. He read his Isha Salah with Jamaat, he read his Fajr Salah with Jamaat. He woke up, read his Fajr Namaz. Whole night he gets sawab as if to say he's in ibadat. He made the whole night's ibadat. Right? So Allah Ta'ala made us. Allah knows us better than we know ourselves. Allah knows that we need sleep. Allah knows we need to eat. Allah knows we need to drink. Allah knows we need to relieve ourselves. So Allah Ta'ala has shown us a way. Allah Ta'ala sent Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to come and show us a way that all these things can become ibadat. Each and everything can become ibadat because the objective of our life is to make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So each and everything will become ibadat. So much so, Hazri Rahmatullah Ali explains that a qazi is a judge. So in the kitabs of fiqh, the etiquettes of the judge is mentioned. That the judge, when he sits on his chair, where he's going to make his qaza, he's going to give his judgment, then he must sit also with a shan. Not with a shani drink. Drink shani. Not shani. He must sit with a shan. When he gives a verdict, when he passes a judgment, then he must pass a judgment also with authority. Now, that will not be regarded as pride. A jahil person will say that this is pride. No. That is not pride. That is how if he behaves in that manner, is ibadat for him. He is behaving in that manner, is ibadat for him. His shan has to be such, the qazi, that even if the khalifa of the time, there's a case is brought against the khalifa of the time. Now, if the khalifa has to come to the courtroom, then too the qazi has to sit with his shan. Because at that time, you don't look at now that's a khalifa and all that. The law of Allah Ta'ala applies equally to everybody. If the Khalifa did wrong, he will also have to face the consequences of that wrong. The same law that is for the laborer, the same law is for the Khalifa. That is the justice in our deen. Beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala gave us. Sometime an ustad, sometime a sheikh, sometime an elder, they have to show that they are angry. Hakikatan, they're not angry. Suratan, they're angry. Outwardly, they show that they are angry. Why? They have to show some anger, they have to shout, they have to, otherwise, who's gonna learn? But in reality, they're not angry. That showing that outward anger for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, to rectify somebody, to teach the student, to get the student to understand, to get the child to understand, the father is showing that he is very angry. The sheikh is showing that he is very upset with the murid, not talking to the murid also. I know one person, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's time, was very close with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. And then he came to his daughter's nikah. And although he had the function at home, but Hazrat was not happy. A person so close to me and still had so big function. We never talked to him for a couple of days. He was finished. He had a lot of love for us. Lot of love he had for us. So now, under normal circumstances, you don't stop talking to somebody more than 3 days. You cannot. But here, not talking to the murid is for what? Is for his islah, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The sheikh will get sawab for that. So we mustn't look at sometime, I can also get angry. No. Our angry will be hakikatan. Our anger will be hakikatan, we really angry. They are not angry. Suratan, they're making like they're angry. It's difficult for them to make themselves angry. But they have to do it. So that, for them, that too is ibadat. That too is ibadat for them. There is nothing that cannot be converted to ibadat. Provided it is done, we submit ourselves to the law of Allah Ta'ala, the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything becomes ibadat. Each and everything in our life becomes ibadat. So man has been sent to the world for what? For ibadat. To worship Allah Ta'ala. Every breath in the world must be in ibadat. Hardam zikro fikra me tere. Every breath must become ibadat. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to read that kalam of whose kalam it is? Madzu. Khwaja Azizul Hasan Madzub Rahmatullah Ali Jazakallah. Jab saas roo mein ho jaye jari. Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah. This is the same thing. That every breath must be spent in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So there can't be ghaflat. Everything must be turned into ibadat. That's the objective of our life. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali mentions that many have categorized agriculture, meaning all farming and all that, commerce, meaning our business, and so forth, as worldly activities. Whereas, in fact, all that is ibadat. Right? Only when these activities go beyond the limits of Shariat, then they cease to be ibadat. If a person is running his business within the parameters of Shariat, every moment he spends in that business, every deal he's doing, everything is ibadat. The farmer, he is farming properly according to Shariat, he's doing everything correctly, his whole time in his farm is ibadat. Whatever work he's doing is ibadat. Yeah, when we go beyond the limits, one is we break the laws of Allah Ta'ala in the business. then there can't be ibadat anymore. It will cease to be ibadat. So we are to blame, Hazrat Rahmatullahi says, because a businessman now, he will say, I can't just sit on whole time in the masjid and make, I will go to work. You know, you hear some people talk, some of us have to work, bhai. Some of us have to work, I have to go to work. So that going to work is not a problem. That going to work also can be ibadat. Can be ibadat. So, we are to blame for taking it outside the bounds of the Sharia and making them worldly activities instead of ibadat. Otherwise it could have remained ibadat. We will find the virtues of agriculture, the virtues of business, etc., listed in our kitabs. I mean, a businessman, he can have a very high maqam. At-tajiru as-saduqul amin. A businessman who is true, is trustworthy. So he is in the ranks of the siddiqeen. He is in the ranks of the anbiya alayhimu salam. Obviously, he won't be same as them. But to show that his rank can be very high. Because in business, lot of unda danda can take place. The person is tempted all the time, he can do a lot of unda danda. Now, if he stays straight, despite, you know, these haram opportunities coming his way, and he can make lot of money with it. Lot of money he can make, but he says, no, I don't get involved in anything haram. I'll be content with whatever halal Allah Ta'ala gives me. And he remains firm on that. So what iman you must have? What taqwa you must have? So then Allah Ta'ala gives him also very high stages, very high maqam. So these virtues are all written in our kitabs. So if these activities were not ibadat, why would their virtues appear in the Hadith Sharif? Virtues appear in the Hadith Sharif because all this is ibadat. We have been created for ibadat. Allah Ta'ala knows we're going to need rozi. So a lot of time goes in acquiring that rozi. Right? So Allah Ta'ala made that acquisition of that rozi also ibadat. Provided it is done the right way. It is done the correct way. So we must judge ourselves, assess ourselves, that my 24 hours, how much of it is ibadat? Business is something that got a lot of barakat in it. Business has got a lot of barakat in it. And an honest trader, an honest businessman, he can have a very high maqam in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Why business has become a headache? Today's time, many businessmen, they tell you, hey, business like this, hey, more like stressed out, fighting. By one is many businessmen, they have waged war with Allah Pak. Many businessmen have waged war with Allah Pak. So now Allah Pak don't come down with a sword to fight. Things go wrong, this goes wrong, that is not pleasant anymore. You're more stressed, you're getting stressed out, this problem, that problem, that problem. The other thing is, like how we say, that if a person, he establishes Shariat in the country, right? Allah's madad will come. Like that, we establish Shariat in our business, Allah's madad will come. Right? Allah's help will come. Things will go smooth. And you find people, you find people that run business, they're pleasant. They're not like they're fighting all the time, they're hustling, you know. No, they're pleasant. Alhamdulillah, time to time they go to work, and they reach a certain age cutoff time. Amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their cutoff was like 40. When they reached 40, they said, right, finish now, enough for dunya now. Now, I just dedicate myself fully in ibadat. How they managed to do it? Somebody was telling me that one family member of theirs moved away to another country. And this country is primitive. Everything is primitive, right? They have a very primitive life. Now, a primitive life don't cost money. Primitive life doesn't cost too much of money. So if you're doing business, you have to make certain amount and carry on. You're happy. You can give charity. My Nanima was telling me now before namaz. She's saying in Dandetu, they used to live in Dandetu. So the local people at that time, they will bring sweet potato, you know, they call it patata, sweet potato, because that's what they plant. The thing is growing like a root in the ground. The sweet potato and madumbi. So the person is planted the thing, so he'll bring it and come to the shop to sell it. Right? The shopkeeper will buy it. Give him the money. He will take that money now and go buy whatever he needs from the shop. The shopkeeper now, he will take that dish of madumbi or sweet potato or whatever. Now he'll tie it in small, small packets and he'll sell it in the shop. How simple. But when our ideas went away too big, you see, Allah Pak can give big business. Allah Ta'ala can give big business in a halal way. Right? And when that happens, when Allah Ta'ala opens the road, that businessman is not stressed. He's not stressed. He's doing more khairat, more charities. He's time to time in the masjid for his namazes. He's not losing his cool with his wife, with his children. He got time for everything. That's from Allah Ta'ala. But when a person is just running in circles, he's running in circles, he's chasing his tail. And end of the month, he's still scratching his head. Right? He's still owing this one so much. He's still owing that one. He can't make this payment. He can't make that payment. He's, how am I going to sort this out? Now he's making one plan to get money out of that fellow. So now if we pull this fellow 3 months now, he's getting a bit angry. All right, we need to make a plan on that fellow, right? Quieten this fellow up, pull that fellow for 3 months, then we'll see. When he gets angry, we'll worry about talking to him. That kind of business, where's the maja in that kind of business? That's a stress. That's a stress. So, if we're getting into too much of stress and too much of headache, you know, we must sit down. Like how when you're coming, you know, SARS come and say, how we sit down, you know, check the books up properly. When we see that the business coming like an azab, then we need to do some checking. Why is business going like an azab now? I have no time for namaz. The other thing, brothers, lot of businesses, I'm not talking about where it's like a big facility. I'm talking about in the business. Every business they make on small musalla. It's not open to the public. It's just for the people of the shop. And that musalla becomes a substitute for the masjid. This is not a good thing. What sawab you get in a masjid, you're not going to get in a musalla. Remember that. And that mustn't become a lazy thing. I'm lazy to go for namaz. My heart is in my shop. I don't want to tear myself away. We're so busy. Jaldi jaldi namaz parine, we must back here. So that's not good. Rijalul la tulhihim tijaratu wa la bay'un an dhikrillah wa iqamis salah wa ita'iz zakah yakhafuna yawman tataqallabu fihi al-qulub wal absar. That's how we should be, right? That now, never mind, I've got a multi-trillion dollar business running. I'm not running it. Allah Pak is running. It's not mine. Allah gave it. Right? Allah is summoning me. Lock and go. If this concern is coming so big that I can't lock and go, then I'm in the wrong place. If it's coming so big that I can't shut down and go, I can't go for namaz, I can't give my Muslim staff off to go and read the surah with jamaat, why I'm putting them in one small back room over there and telling them read your namaz there? I'm making like I'm very concerned about my namaz. No, I'm more concerned about my shop. They mustn't go read namaz in the masjid and take so much time. They must read here in the back room and get back here on the floor. See, Allah knows our niyat. Allah knows our intentions. Why are we making this small, small thing? Allah Pak is giving so much big, big masajid we got around us. In a small, maybe you just have to travel half a kilometer, 1 kilometer, and you're in a masjid. We're not like we're in South America or something. You have to travel for 3-4 hours to find the next masjid. So why are we making these small, small facilities? It's just for... Oh, you know, we have to read namaz now. Right? Quickly, quickly, snap, dash, read your namaz and come with. But the problem is our heart is tied in the shop. We can't leave it. So now, before we were leaving and going for namaz, now we can't do that also. Namaz too must take place inside here. Breakfast too came away inside here. Lunch too came away inside here. Namaz too came away inside here. Everything, just now he'll bring his bed too and put it over there. So it mustn't be like that. Business is there to earn a rosy, not to take over our life. It mustn't take over our life. If it's taking over our life, we've got a problem. We need to do soul searching. We need to check, you know, what's going on here. Why this thing is... And the sad thing is, you see, the more we earn, the higher we want to live. The more we earn, the higher we want. So we're always stressed out. We don't reach a cutoff point. Now what I'm going to do, my brain is going in this direction. See, the old people, right? If Allah Pak gave them some money, they built one house. They lived in that house till they died. They stayed there till they passed away. Right? That same curtain was there. It was there till the end. The same kitchen was there. They spent money one time. They built that house. They finished. After that, they just stayed away in that house. Today, the fellow built one house. No, now one better area came out. Now he's going there now to go build even better. That money he wouldn't have spent. He wouldn't have needed. He got a house. He registered in that house and finished and carried on. And now when he goes to build that house, that has to be a statement. It can't be like this one. Can't be like this one. That has to be a statement. Is he buying trouble for himself? Headache. Now I need to work so much harder and do so much harder. One time, a person did it, halas, carrying on. But no, we now, every couple years now, need to build another one. Need to do another thing. Need to do this kitchen up. Need to do this. Forget doing the kitchens. Now we've got to do the shops up too. The old people, there was a saying amongst the old people, you know. They say their shops were so like dingy, you know. They say, no, the barkat was in all the dust over there. Today the shops too need makeovers and everything. Now, how much goes in that makeover now? So that business has become like a taking over our life. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala protect us all. Keep us on sirat-e-mustaqim. It's not only shops. Masjids too are gone like that. You could have built the same masjid, right, in X amount of money. No. You have to make a statement to the masjid. That you have to be this kind design, that kind window, this kind. You can't just make it plain and simple, straightforward, standard, everything. No, it has to be state of the art. Now, how much money you need to build state of the art? Then every couple of years, we need a makeover in the masjid too. Everything needs makeover. The wife, she's going makeover, makeup, makeover. Everything needs makeover. The house needs makeover. The masjid needs makeover. This is all the shell, boy. The outside. Allah wants to see the ruh of the things. The ruh of things. So the simplicity is very important. Just live a simple life, straight life. Life will become easier. There's barkat in the wealth. You don't want to break your head so much. With more time for Allah Ta'ala, can retire earlier. And make Allah Allah prepare for our maut, our main journey. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم انصر الإسلام وأنصاره وأذل الشرك وأشراره اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.